attorney, advocate, author, public speaker, The Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600. Flip that switch and turn on your brain. Here is Lisa Wexler.
And welcome back to The Lisa Wexler Show, 203-333-9422. It's a fabulously beautiful day. I hope you're enjoying it. We still have a bunch of leaves on our trees. They are dappled in the sunlight. 203-333-9422. I have to talk about something that is so on my heart. And of course, the bigger issue, the big idea here is that it is like the old line written in Fiddler on the Roof, in which Tevye sings, "If I were a rich man, Yahadiya Diya." And the best line, possibly and most truest written of any lyric of any American songbook Broadway show, was this: "When you're rich, they think you really know." So let me talk to you about that. When you're rich, they think you really know. And it has to do with the idea that people are subservient to rich people, and they accord them and they give them deference to having brain power and judgment and discernment that they don't deserve. There was a story this weekend that surfaced about public university, not here, but in California, University of California, Santa Barbara. I don't know if you know the name Charlie Munger, but if you've ever heard of Warren Buffett, and I assume that you have, Charlie Munger was his right hand, is his right hand guy, and a superly powerful billionaire many times over, just like Warren Buffett. Maybe not as famous, but pretty famous in his own right. And because of how rich he is, this is stunning to me. UC Santa Barbara is a public institution. If it were private, it would be bad enough, but it isn't. It's public with tax dollars. Because of how rich he is, and because of how much money presumably he was going to donate to the university, they decided to let him design a dorm for 4,500 students. And in this dorm for 4,500 students, he made it windowless. Are you listening to me? He made it a giant box without windows as a form of social experimentation. Thus far, believe it or not, he's getting away with it. And it's only because one of the architects on the university's review board has resigned in protest that you or I or anybody in California even knows about it. It is so unbelievably stunning in the audacity of the abuse of wealth and the deference of other people to wealthy people in exchange for more money. This is a public institution. I don't care how much money somebody wants to give them as a private donation. They survive because of tax dollars. How dare you ever consider experimenting with 4,500 kids and putting them in a windowless dormitory? It's astonishing to me. It's gross. Let me tell you some of the facts. Munger Hall is supposed to have been a towering residence hall for more than 4,500 students designed by Charles T. Munger, a billionaire and an executive of Berkshire Hathaway, partner with Warren Buffett. But Dennis McFadden, an architect who served as a consultant on the university's design review committee, did not agree. On October 24th, did not agree with the assessment that the residence hall was, quote, absolutely stunning. In his scathing letter to the chairwoman of the committee, he announced that he was resigning over the university's decision to approve a design that he said was a social and psychological experiment. He said he was disturbed by a design that would cram 4,500 students into a 1.7 million square foot, 11-story building and make the vast majority of them live in small rooms without windows, wholly dependent on artificial light and mechanical ventilation. Can't open a window. By the way, as if we needed COVID-19 as more proof, everybody needs to be able to open a window. I don't like to stay in hotels that don't let me open a window. In the nearly 15 years, quote, I served as a consulting architect to the DRC, no project was brought before the committee that is larger, more transformational, and potentially more destructive to the campus as a place than Munger Hall. The basic concept of Munger Hall as a place for students to live is unsupportable from my perspective as an architect, a parent, and a human being. The university says there's a housing shortage so severe that students have to be placed in hotels, and therefore that Munger Hall would create better and more affordable housing with flourish and elegance. And in a statement, Andrea Estrada, a spokeswoman for the university, said the design was moving forward as planned despite the protest of the architect. It's just unbelievable to me. They did not address his concerns. Mr. Munger's 97, he shrugged off the criticism and said he saw it as nothing more than typical carping by architects, but he's not a licensed architect. He said he helped design dorms similar to this at the University of Michigan, where the units are also windowless. In Santa Barbara, they would have virtual windows with artificial light, relying on LED light to replicate sunlight. Tiny little bedrooms. I can't even. Good for this architect, but the university is going forward. And you know what? Can I just tell you? The only reason that Mr. Munger even gets a seat at the table is because of his money. It's not because of his architectural accomplishment. It's not because of his design aesthetic. It's not because of anything he accomplished in the world except for picking some good stocks. And it's awful. And this is what we do. But when it has the real-time impact of affecting the way that our students get to live for their formative years of going to college, then the rest of us in America say, hold on a minute, stop. Just stop, UC Santa Barbara. Just stop whatever it is you're doing. Here are what the students said. Ready? Ready? One student said he opposed the project because of its height and lack of windows and said, fresh air is unbelievably important for college students. Young people don't always smell good. Another student compared the bedrooms to solitary confinement units. The student wrote, you are asking for students to get depression and commit self-harm. Strongly reconsider this entire plan. Paul Goldberger, the architecture critic for The New Yorker, said the concept showed, quote, how far UCSB has fallen since the days when it had architects like Charles Moore. On Twitter, he said, this design is a grotesque, sick joke, a jail masquerading as a dormitory. No, design isn't up to billionaire donors. Of course, Munger Hall is expected to be partially funded by Mr. Munger. Mr. McFadden, the architect, said it became clear to him after the October 5th meeting that the university was not interested in the committee's input. No input, no approval was requested. And anyway, it's revolting to me. And I just want to say this because one of the things that's happening now that's very timely, 203-333-9422, let me ask the question. Question for you is, would you want your student to live in a windowless dorm that was supported only by artificial light and artificial ventilation? Simple question. Would you allow your student to live in that? What if you had no choice? Would it affect the college that you sent your child to? What do you think about this? And of course, as a corollary, should rich people who give money have that much of an impact on design? What are we talking about now? You give your money, you shut up. That's your contribution. You gave your money. You gave your money. You want it to be called Munger Hall? That's what you get. You get naming rights. You don't get design rights. Since when do you get design rights? But apparently he got away with this in Michigan. And now he's moving to UC Santa Barbara. And why he got away with it in Michigan, I don't know. Windowless dorms. You know, we already have, it goes without saying, but let's just say it anyway. We already have a population of young people that are more fragile than ever, that are more inclined to depression than ever. Suicide is the third leading cause of death among young people. What are we doing here? What are we doing here? Where is the science that shows that artificial light and artificial ventilation is better than opening a window and some fresh air? And letting light pour through window. Where is this? There isn't. It doesn't exist because it's not true. So let's talk about rich people a little bit more, because one of the more timely subjects is this billionaire's tax, which was promptly raised and discarded by the billionaires who made sure that it went away. Elon Musk today becoming the richest man in the world, having become the first human being to be worth over $300 billion, that's with a B, dollars. Because of the stock market, obviously, because of his shares of Tesla. And the head of the UN food program saying, if you could just sell 2% of your net worth and give us $45 billion of it, or I don't know however much it is, you would be able to actually take millions of people out of poverty and hunger and feed them. And Elon Musk said, if you can prove to me with data that that's true, I'll do it. I'll sell some shares of stock and feed some people. Do you think we should be taxing the billionaires? The pro of it is the obvious. They have too much money. They can never spend it while they're on Earth. And it needs to come back to the taxpayers of America because there's too much money aggregated at the top. And it's simply a question of fairness and equity. And the rest of the country needs that money. And by the way, you also made it on the backs of the U.S. capitalist system, which is supported by United States rules and laws and customs. That's the argument in favor of it. Nobody should have that much money. You got to give some more back. You can afford it. It's not going to change one iota of your spending capability of your time on Earth. So go ahead and give some more back. Who else should do it? The poor people? Okay. The argument against it is that it's the camel's nose under the door, that if we start taxing people based on the volume, on the wealth of their assets, that's not a good precedent for taxation in this country, that today it's the billionaires, tomorrow it'll be the, quote, merely millionaires, and eventually be the rest of us. By the way, we do have a precedent for taxing assets, and it's right here in Connecticut. If you have a car in Connecticut, you pay a tax on that. It's not an income tax. It's an asset tax. That's what it is. And the state of Connecticut already does that. They tax your asset, your car. And what the IRS wants to do is consider doing more of that by taxing your wealth that sits in the bank. Not your income on your wealth, but your wealth itself, which would be a transformational way of looking at taxation. And of course, it wouldn't be in lieu of income. It would be in addition to income. And a lot of people are not happy about that. But should we make an exception for billionaires? Should we say we're not going to tax regular person's assets, but you know what? If you're a billionaire, we make an exception because you can afford it. 203-333-9422. We'll be right back. Want to answer the question? We'll be right back.
If I were a bitty, bitty rich, idle, diddle, diddle, diddle man, I'd build a big, tall house with rooms by the dozen right in the middle of the town.